The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.
Well, if you've ever found yourself looking at two wheels thinking that might be an option, maybe I should go and get a motorbike license. Ger Herbert is with us to tell us how you go about transitioning from four to two, or how you start on two if that's what you want. Ger, I'm slightly surprised by this because I seem to remember some time ago suggesting to you that you might go and get a bike license, and you were, I think it's fair to say, less than enthusiastic.
Yeah, if I recall that conversation, Anton, I think root canal treatment was probably more
for that. That was the analogy. Yes, it was. So if somebody does look at this and think it's a good way to go, let's start at the basics. The first thing is you need to be fairly old to get a bike license.
Well, it depends on the license. Unlike a car license where it's just, you know, what, once you're over 17, you can go ahead and do it. They're broken down into various. So it's sort of 16 to 18 and then 18 to 24. So it depends. And when you actually, so what you do, first of all, Anton, is you get your theory test. Once your theory test is passed, you can then go to the National Driver's License, make an appointment with them, produce all your documents, and they will give you the license suitable for your age. Now, the thing about it is you have to then start initially basic training, but you cannot start that until you physically have a learner permit in your hand. And this is one of the things you have to remember. So when you apply for one, it'll take a while. I think it's about 2 weeks before it's sent out to you. So you have to physically have it in your hand before you do that initial basic training.
And then there are different grades of motorcycle license that you can go for.
There are. So there's an A1, and they're for mopeds and scooters and motorcycles of less than 120 or 125 cc or less. And for that, that's the lowest category. And for, you can be 16 for that. Then you can go right up to the A2 category. So that's the bigger ones. And you have to be over 24 for those. Now, there are ways you can convert along the line, along the way, if you're going from one to the other. But basically, they're really categorized in terms of age.
And it is that if you start on the A1, you can sort of graduate your way up to a full license at, I think, what is it, 20 years of age? Whereas if you try to go directly in, you have to be 24. Isn't that it?
Yeah, that's it. So, and the thing about it is as well, this was brought in, I think it's more than a decade now that this initial bike training has come in. So I think there's a lot of people who think, oh, I can, you know, I can drive a car and I have been for years. I'll just move on to a bike now and I can bypass all of that. But no, you actually do have to go through this training. And as I said, the initial basic training, then it depends on what license you're getting. It can be up to, it can be 16 hours or it can be 18 hours, or whatever, but you have to do it. You cannot legally go on the road without that training.
In terms of the theory test, is the theory test for a bike and a car the same thing?
No. So, well, as far as I know, it's not. It's a different theory test. Maybe it is, actually. Do you know something? I'd have to double check that. But no, I think the motorcycle theory test is different, Anton. So basically, that's 35 to 40 multiple questions or whatever. It's probably very similar to the car one, to be honest. And it's done in exactly the same way. And as I said, until you pass that, you can't go and get your learner permit. It's very much the same as the kind of car thing, Anton, in the sense that, you know, it's a theory test, it's a learner permit, it's then your full license, it's you're still a novice driver for 2 years or whatever. But I suppose the difference is because it's a bike, you can go on the road unaccompanied because, you know, you can't learn any other way. So once you do have that initial basic training, you can do that.
What about the risks involved? Because the kind of accident that just ruins your afternoon in a car can be a lot more significant on a bike.
Yeah. And again, when you talk to instructors, they always say you cannot ride, and you will know this from experience, Anton, you cannot ride a bike like you do a car. I mean, if you go into a bend too fast in a car, thanks to all of the traction control and the braking and everything systems that are in a car, the chances are you'll come out of it okay. In a bike, it's a totally different situation. And actually, when if you look at sort of the main causes of fatal motorcycle crashes, the majority of them are overtaking issues. So motorcyclists overtaking a vehicle turning right is really risky. Just general overtaking and then being on the wrong side of the road and head-on collisions with oncoming vehicles. So very much it's overtaking is the issue, and that's the big risk, really. I suppose other cars are also a risk in terms of actual collisions. Again, if you look at the stats in terms of collisions, it tends to be car doors and things like that. But in terms of fatalities, overtaking seems to be the really risky thing.
And when you look into the numbers, give us a sense of the demographics. Who is it that is getting bike licenses? Is it men, women? What sort of age?
Yeah, no surprise, Anton, it is mainly men. So the RSA did a survey last year and I think they interviewed about 1,200 motorbike riders. 91% were male. So no surprise there. And actually that across the EU, there are differences for sort of country to country. A lot of the East European countries would be, there'd be more women on bikes, but still generally it's about 95% male across when you balance it all out. In terms of age, I think this is quite interesting. 20% are under 35, but the bulk of the motor riders are 35 to 54. That's 50% of the motorbikes population. And then 29% are over 55.
What about things like carrying a pillion? If you get the full license, are you immediately allowed to have somebody on the back of the bike?
Again, with a learner permit, I don't know that. I think you are, but I'd have to double check that. I assume, again, the same as with a car license. You do get the same. You can do the same things, but you obviously are just a novice for 2 years. The other thing, actually, just similar to a car, you can't go on a motorway when you're training, which again would seem ridiculous. Why we do this with learner drivers and we do this with learners learning on a motorbike as well. You have this situation then where you get your full license. Obviously, motorways are statistically the safest roads, but they don't know how to use them effectively and safely. So I think that's an issue there. And just one other thing in terms of the demographics, which I thought was quite interesting, 56% of the people interviewed by the RSA as part of that survey had more than 10 years experience on a bike.
Well, I assume that an awful lot of the people who get their bike license grew up around and grew up on bikes.
Yeah. And in terms of the numbers, there seems to be an increase now in the last year or two with younger people getting bikes. It seemed to have been kind of not declining, but not really growing at any great rate. But apparently now, due to college, people going to college and accommodation being so difficult to get and so expensive to get, there's more young people now getting bikes as a means to get to and from probably work as well as college.
What about continuing driver training? Because I know that is a thing that is available. Is there much of an uptake for it?
Yeah, again, this is something that the RSA really do encourage people, and probably again because of the likes of the motorway, to go back and at least maybe get a few lessons about using a motorway and using it safely. But they do stress, and there are a lot of these courses around, they do stress that it is one of those things. But also, I mean, even if you don't go for that, there's some great groups around the place. I mean, the Gardaí run a bike safe workshop, but also Shed for Bikes. They have, if you Google it, they have a Facebook group, and they're a kind of community based organisation, and they're really strong on safety. They have been the recipient of the RSA Leading Lights Award. I think it was in 2022 they got it, and they provide huge support for people, both in terms of being safe on a bike, making sure that the bike is roadworthy, maintaining your bike. And so, I mean, if you are thinking about this, I would definitely say, reach out and sort of look at those organizations as well, because they do offer great support and just great sort of tips about, staying safe. Because if you look at the stats, Anton, they are fairly worrying. I mean, motorbike riders make up only about 2% of the overall vehicle fleet, and yet they can make up anything up to 12 to 14% of the road deaths, 10% at best. But there has, like last year, there were 14%. So they're way, way disproportionately showing up in stats.
Yeah, it's hard to overestimate just how vulnerable bike riders are. On an unrelated topic, Ger, there's news that the fines issued to motorists for traffic offences are dropping while death rates are rising. Now, this is something you and I have spoken about before on air, but this is the issue of enforcement and the availability of Gardaí to enforce traffic laws. And what the figures would show is people are getting away with things they usedn't to.
Yeah, and is it any surprise, Anton? I mean, we know earlier in the year it was reported that the Garda Road policing unit, the personnel numbers were down 15% since 2021. Now we see that the number of fixed charge notices are actually down, and I think they're down in 17 out of 22 divisions. Interestingly, the only division that shows quite a significant rise, 51%, is in Clare Tipperary. And that is, as you'll remember, where they put in the average speed cameras on the M7 motorway in Tipperary in 2022, where compliance is now, I think, up at 98%. So yeah, overall, the numbers have really fallen. I think, where is it, 13% down for motorists caught for driving while intoxicated. Again, we know that mandatory checkpoints and the numbers have reduced in the last 2 years. So really no surprise in any of this, Anton.
And just before we wrap up, Ger, has all of this research that you've been doing into bike licenses, has it changed your root canal assessment of the process? Would you reconsider getting the bike license yourself?
No.
Worth a shot.
I'm not even going to veer on that one. No, it's still might say the same assessment. Sorry there, Anton, not going to happen.
Gerard, thank you very much. That is Geraldine Herbert there, the motoring editor for the Sunday Independent.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Aviva Insurance
on News Talk.